We have our opening scripture. It's a big subject, and I'm only just going to scratch the surface, but it's one verse that's been in my spirit for several weeks. Hebrews 11:1. And I have several others to go down through with it and some thoughts. We are called people of faith. And the word is faith. What is it? Why is it so important? And what do we do with it? Hebrews 11:1. And I found this from the Berean Study Bible. And it's important to me personally because I wanted to know why Paul brought special attention to the Berean believers, which is near Thessalonica in Greece today. There was something unique about this group of people and the way they received the gospel from Paul. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. So go to Hebrews 11:1. Very familiar verse. Many books have actually been written about faith. And I've read many of them, actually. And some confused me because they took an intellectual kind of approach and it confused me because I didn't understand a lot of the theological terminology that was used to describe it. So forgive me for my childlike understanding of what faith is because I'm kind of going to present it from that perspective. Now, I like that. Say now. That means today, this very minute. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see. I tried to find some really basic truths to reinforce. You know, Barbara talked about the importance of our roots as believers. Paul encouraged us as believers in the book of Colossians, that our faith be rooted and grounded in the Word, because the Word is the water that the roots need to grow, for us to develop as a tree. And we're plantings in the Lord's vineyard, if you will. And so the way that this was translated, I didn't find those words quite like that. But it really showed me. Faith is the assurance. And it's related like the title deed to eternal life. Why? Because you heard the gospel, each one of you. You heard the gospel at least once. Maybe more than that. I heard it actually a few times in my life, but I rejected it at that time. But I never forgot the people that spoke to me about the Lord. It's like they all flashed before my eyes suddenly when it was my day. It's like I remembered all those that tried to steer my radical life off course for the better. And so you hear the gospel and the day comes when you choose to believe it. Why do you do that? Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, reveals to you that what part of that message that you heard, you believe it. And when you believe it, and you're so assured of its truthfulness and its source that comes from the Lord, you don't question it. You just simply believe. And it's almost like maybe not even having hardly any understanding at that time, but faith just accepts it at face value. You believe it because the Spirit of God convinces you that it's true. The Word of God is the truth. It's a source of truth unlike any other book, unlike any other source, because it came from the Lord. And so, just like a title deed is evidence of real estate, if you own a home or you own a car, and I say own because once they're paid for, you get the title deed, and all those years you released your faith to believe that God was going to provide for you, by faith you believe that you're going to have an income of some sort, or God's going to supernaturally cause money to fall out of heaven, which we know it doesn't always grow on trees unless you have a money tree in your backyard. But he provides. And so we believe that. And so your faith in him is like that title deed. It's an assurance of a truth that actually has caused you to make a decision that's going to affect the rest of your life, not only in this life, but the eternal life that each believer has as well, because you've chosen to believe the gospel. And so in simplicity, faith is taking God at his word and asking no questions. Is that hard for some of you? To not want to ask questions? No? It's not a trick question. I'm one of those people who was like that. I've never asked God why. And I know this might sound silly to you, but it's just Rick, okay? I never asked him why about anything, because I know he's always right. Why waste the time? That's the simplicity of my faith. I don't have to know everything there is to know. How could you know everything there is to know? How could you know everything that there is to know about the subject of faith? You even have to believe it by faith. But there's an assurance. And once you have that assurance, it shows up. It manifests in your life. And that's the evidence. You may not see it today, but the evidence is going to come forth. It's going to be there. Faith simply means believing that something is true. How do you know the gospel is true? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He reveals to you that what you've read in the scriptures is true. And even if you don't have a Bible, I didn't have one at the time, but somebody told it to me. And I just knew it was true. All the times before, I just chucked it away. Didn't want to hear it. People that Don knew back years ago with me too. Didn't want to hear it. And it didn't even mean anything to me. But the one time that it did, it's because I heard. I heard with a different set of ears, if you will. I heard in my spirit that it was true. And then, in biblical faith, means believing in God and what Christ has done for us to make our salvation possible. The work of the cross, the shedding of his blood, the giving of his life. To give us life. He gave his life to give us life. Not only that, but the fact of his resurrection. Other than Lazarus, and a few instances where others have been raised from the dead in the scriptures, if you haven't read those things, I still would believe them because I consider the source. I don't have a lot of faith in people. Somewhat, but not like I have in the Lord. Because God is perfect, he's just, his ways are true, his words are righteous, his words are holy, his words are pure. I can't say that about any person that I know. Because we're all subject to making errors and things that we speak. We say things that don't come in line with the scriptures sometimes. So that we have to have the word. That's why it's so important for us to renew our minds to the word and to spend quality time, have our devotion time or reading. Mine isn't always the same time every day, but every day there's some time given. Because I don't have a set pattern for every single day of the week exactly the same. I kind of don't have that privilege really sometimes. So you have to make sure that you do these things in your schedules, in your time, and the Lord makes a way. But let's coming back to this. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's a really important verse of scripture. Because when you read the word, and the Spirit and the Word work together to convince you or to confirm to you that it's the truth, it's not hard to believe it. And this is where I want to bring you to Paul's preaching in Berea after he went to the Thessalonican church, the Thessalonians. Berea was an interesting place because if you read in Acts chapter 17, so I'm going to jump from Romans 10:17 to Acts 17, verses 11 through 13. An interesting account here. And it was important enough that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, definitely wanted us to be aware of this, to challenge us, to see if we might also maybe put into practice some things that other people in the Scriptures learned and applied, and the results that they got because of it. How did it change their behavior? How did it change their lifestyle? What made certain groups or individuals different? In Acts chapter 17, verses 11 through 13, I have this in the NIV, but whatever translation you may have, it's going to say basically the same thing. Acts 17, 11 through 13 records that the people in Berea received the message with great eagerness, and get this, examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. That's really important, that people who come preaching and teaching among us, I love it when when I bring my funny Bible, and I do that on purpose, because I want to really be assured that you're paying attention to what I say if I'm taking things from the Scriptures. I don't want you to sit here and just believe me because I'm up here talking. I'm one of you. I want you to go back to the Word for your sake and read it for yourselves. I don't want to just talk about a verse. I want to read the verse, and I love it when you bring your Bibles with you so that you too can read and you can see it up there as well. Take the time. And I always, if you will ask me for the Scripture references, because I know some of you take notes, and that's really healthy. I encourage that so that you also can go back and sometime during the week, look those same verses up again and think about them. And maybe find, do your own rabbit trails so that they lead to other places that confirm the Word so that you have a better understanding. Well, the Bereans did that. Paul, he just came into town and he began preaching, and who's this fellow? Oh, I think I want to check out who he is, what he's been speaking, to see if that's true or not. And I think that's very wise for us as believers to let the Spirit challenge us to do that. And then, with the exception of, listen to this now, he made mention of this. I'm coming back to 13. They received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. This, he said, made them of more noble character. They were really after the truth. And there was how could I describe this? There was something evident in their eagerness to pursue what Paul had preached to them. A noble character. They didn't mock him. They didn't receive him that way, and they didn't receive his words that way. But look at this. Then the people in other places who just listened but didn't actually study the Bible carefully for themselves. In fact, if you read a little further, you'll find out that there's a mention in these Scriptures as well. Verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. They stirred up a riot and made a scene to try to stir the people up to oppose what Paul had preached. And isn't it wonderful how it's because of the word of God. They didn't want to hear it. Their ears were closed. And I can really identify with that because, like I said, I had friends that I knew from my hippy-dippy-dope days that got saved. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And I didn't want to hear them. I'd stop my ears. So sometimes there are certain verses that may mean a lot more to me perhaps than you, because maybe, you know, you didn't do the things I did, or maybe your lifestyles are very different, but there was a time in your life when you didn't know Jesus. And there might have been people who came across your life that tried to present the gospel and you ran them off, or you turned your ear to them or away from them. But this clearly defines the noble ones from the ones who came to stir up trouble. The word of God does not always appeal to every ear that hears it. And we have to be aware of that, and I'm sure we are. But here it gives an example, because this word needed to be received in faith. It's preached, and you take it as the truth. But also, do your homework. If you're listening to somebody on TV, check it out. Make sure they're not just trying to tell a good story to keep their ministries funded, to keep that TV show on every week. So, you know, just do this for you. Because it says right here, who just listened but didn't actually study the Bible carefully for themselves. Our enemy knows the scriptures too. And he kind of twists them a little bit so that a person's motives can be swayed. They can be taken advantage of. And we've all experienced hearing that. Read every verse of scripture on giving and then make a plea for support. The motive is to teach you how to take this word and apply it for your own lives so that you get the benefit of that as well. Because it'll work. The word works. And it works every time. There's nothing wrong with the word. James chapter 1, I'll end with that. Because I know that this could be so lengthy that we won't live long enough to describe all of what faith is. Not in this life. In the end, it won't matter because we'll have everything that has been promised to us. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. There's this some truth revealed here as well that I find it very helpful. And James uses the topic of wisdom. Many times Proverbs also counsels us to get wisdom, to get knowledge, to get understanding. But James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, not just the ones that were here today, not just the ones that were here last week, to all who ask. He gives liberally and without reproach. He's not going to get on your case and razz you because you asked him for wisdom. Or anything else that you have need of. Wisdom is the topic that James brought up. But you can put a lot of other things in there that you go before the Lord to ask. And ask in faith. That prayer for the Philippines. Prayer for Alice's daughter. When we go before the Lord, we ask God in faith, believing that he hears us, because his word says that when we call upon him, he hears us. His ear is attentive to the righteous. We're the righteous by the blood of Jesus. So let him ask of God, who gives without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, information, facts. A lot of information goes into wisdom, but there comes a time when you may come short in your lack of knowledge and understanding, and you need to ask the Lord to help you understand, or to give you wisdom, give you understanding. But here's the key. But let him ask in faith. Without, or with no doubting, For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. And that's a very stern caution. I see a yellow flag there. If I could put flags there, I would really make a note about that. Once you've asked, how long does it take before you start doubting? How many times do you ask God for the same thing without realizing the truth of the matter that he heard you the first time? He's not deaf. I know he's Ancient of Days, but he definitely doesn't have a hearing aid and he doesn't need one. He hears you from the time you've opened your mouth and made a request. In fact, he knows what you're going to ask him before you ask him. But you got to ask in faith. And that means be absolutely assured and believe in your heart that what you ask him for, you're going to receive. Why? Didn't Jesus teach that? Ask, seek, and knock. His teaching on prayer, there's a lot of places about prayer. Mark 11, when you pray, believe that you receive when you pray, and you shall have whatsoever you ask. Those are all promises, but it takes a releasing of your faith to stand on it and to know that what you've asked for, it's already in the Word. And my Bible also says that God, in Christ, all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. So the more you know your Word, the more you know what God has promised his beloveds, and you can stand on those verses and know that when you ask, you're not out of his will for asking, and he will give you those things. Because he's a good, good father. He keeps his word. And that's really important. We should be just like him. If you make a promise to somebody, you keep your word. So that people can put a cautious, limited amount of faith in you. Because you know one of the first things that goes bad in the life of a Christian? If you don't keep your word, everybody's going to notice. That's the first thing that you notice. Whether a person is giving you a line of baloney or whether they keep their word. Because if they don't, even your kids grow up thinking you're double-minded and unstable. Even kids know that. Don't lie to your kids and don't make promises that you can't keep. And grandma and grandpa don't do that either. Because the grandkids are savvy. They know when you're pulling the wool over their eyes. So it's about faith, but it's also about truth. It's about the purity of the word and how precious God's promises are to receive by faith. In fact, the less I know about it, the easier it is to believe for me. But I admire and I learn from those that are far more learned and way deeper than I am. But I'll tell you, the simplicity of that, I think of little kids. In fact, that was my nickname in Europe. They called me Little Boy on my first missions trips. Because they came out of communism, they were terrified of believing, and they were terrified of coming to places where we were meeting. But I went there not even realizing all of that had happened and stayed in their homes and how that drew attention to their home. And I didn't seem to pay any attention to that. I listened to them, but I couldn't relate to what that was really like. And also, the simpler that you speak, the easier it is for a translator to be able to take your words and speak it in another language. And then even that takes faith, doesn't it, Jim? To know that what your translator is speaking to the people are the words that you spoke. Yeah. So everything that you do as a Christian, it's like we exercise faith without even realizing it. And even faith in the natural. I was especially observant this morning to see how many of you, when you came in, oh my God, there's only three legs on that chair. I better not sit there. I didn't see any of you do that. come in, plop down, hung out, and just relax and sat there, and nothing broke from under you. See, that's a simple little demonstration of what it is to walk by faith. The simplest of things produce the greatest results. Thank you. Thank you for being you, because you're faithful, and I've seen it over the years. But if you fib, or you stretch something, don't go too far. Go just to the edge. Last week, we had started verse 5. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not seek her own. Love is not easily provoked. And love does not think evil of others, but is quick to think the best of them. And we went down through quite a lot of that. And at the last part, we were talking about Christians in the workforce as Christian employees or Christian employers. And we talked at great length about what the heart set of the believer should be towards those who are working for someone else, or as employees, and how, is it a place to put a bushel over your light, or do you still let it shine? Do you still have the love and the life of the Lord prevalent so that people know you as a person of love and respect and honor and dignity? And if you're a Christian employer, how you treat your employees. And I shared a bit about Faith and I with the business that we had for quite a few years, and certain ones that we hired, and how difficult that was to walk that walk because they just did some stupid stuff, and we were held liable, and we tried to walk that walk, and it was very difficult. And then ended up, I told you about the person that painted baseboards as far out onto the floor. And that wasn't okay with some of the people that we did business with and had to make some corrections. Another time to keep him, we thought, well, we'll put him in a job that's more suitable for him. And he worked really well with repairing plaster. And a lot of buildings in our area, the older buildings, have lath and plaster walls and ceilings as well. And we had a miracle opportunity to work in a demonic cult up in Chester called the Freemasons. And in their lodge, we actually got to work in their Holy of Holies room with the compass points and the worshipful master. And you had to bow down to him and worship him and all these cultic demonic practices. And it was a miracle that we actually were able to work in there. It was quite an eye-opener. You know, all the doors, the wood that was closed over the windows, and they met privately in secret so no one could see in. And we wanted no part of that, but we did the work. And this gentleman that painted the baseboard so badly was repairing some of the plaster, and he was really, really a craftsman at that. But he had this thing about such a disrespect, even for portraits, pictures. He took one and laid it, just flopped it out and ground his cigarette butts out on it on the job. And just, but he wasn't a person that we could hold to our standards. And sometimes as faith people, we forget that sometimes, that our values aren't the same as they used to be. And we actually had to let him go after that, and he got really upset and filed an unemployment claim and blah, 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 business of a story. But we couldn't let it go beyond a certain point. We owed our customers integrity and honesty as a business, and sometimes you're going to be called upon to make some business decisions, perhaps, and you have to keep thinking about, how do I walk this love walk, but keep it balanced. Love doesn't put up with with just really wrongdoing. You can't let it go that far that it's going to make a difference in somebody else's life or impact the lives of others. And so you try to apply godly principles to your business. And you have to make some tough decisions sometimes. And love does not seek her own. It's the wonderful thing about God's love is it doesn't have to puff itself up. It doesn't have to boast or brag. Love, this kind of love, is known by its own fruit. You'll see it in people's lives. And they don't have to go around and think of how great I art. Satan tried that in Isaiah chapter 14. I call it the five I wills or the words of a fool. You want to see that? This is a contrast, very quick contrast, in case you haven't read that in a while. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. This is what he said. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And a person gets all puffed up in arrogance and pride. But you know, the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost will stop us. It will scream, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. Because if it's just earthly love, we like the attention, we like to be the center of the crowd, be the big guy or whatever. But this love is not like that. The love of the Lord keeps us small in a right way, not seeking to be above anyone else or to puff ourselves up to be better than anybody else. And we talked about that. The next one, love is not easily provoked. But I shared with you already about the man who kept putting grease in my work gloves at work, and it started out as a joke, and he provoked me, though, to the point where, and I wasn't saved, but he provoked me so much that I literally would have been really excellent in my first beheading if someone hadn't have pulled me off of him. Because he provoked me so much, we were making turbine blades for jet engines. And I was so angry that I had one like this with a sharp edge of the blade down, and I was ready to just drive it right down on his neck. And Faith's brother was working with me and another employee. And I think back now, I don't get provoked like that anymore because the love for people now is so different. It's like a restrainer. It keeps you from crossing that line. Doesn't mean you might have a thought. Doesn't mean your flesh might want to scream out for vengeance to get even. But there's a point where that love will keep you from going that extra distance and really doing some damage in a person's life. And ultimately, it'll reflect back on ourselves. This one, I'm going to just introduce it and talk about it more next week probably. Love does not think evil of others, but is quick to think the best of them. I'm just going to ask this question for you to think. You hear a story about somebody. Stories go around in the body of Christ too. You have an opportunity to think the worst about what you just heard about a certain person. Is your mind quick to go there? Or is it quick to come to their defense even though you don't know anything about them and defend them? Until they themselves have proved whether something's right or wrong. Love covers and protects. It does not, evil should not be the first thought in a Christian's life, to think the worst of somebody or to think evil of them not knowing the facts, not knowing the full story. Somebody comes to work and rubs you the wrong way, and right away you want to jump in their face. Maybe you weren't there that morning before they came to work and have absolutely no idea who they met with before, who got them all stirred up. And then they show up and you think the worst of them, not knowing the full story. You see, this love will restrain you. It'll keep you from going there. I don't want to always make it sound like our flesh wins, because it doesn't, only when we let it. But this love goes the extra 20 miles. Jesus said, go 2 miles. It'll go further. I think I have some notes about that. Oh, yes. It's never caught up in spreading rumors, things unknown or unverified about someone. It's not inclined to seek revenge. This love is not suspicious of others, nor does it declare them to be guilty of anything when there is nothing out in the open. Oh, boy. Oh, I should save this for next week. Faith is saying yes. And I will, because... What's that? Oh, okay. It is so easy to fall into this trap of hearing a rumor and then making your own conclusions before you know the truth. And there's a little story that goes with that. I'll bring that next week as well. But today, think about your faith. Think about the value of what you have as a believer. Think about the value and the worth you are to your Heavenly Father. Think about the value and the worth to your family, your families today. Think about this love too. You know, you don't know how the day's going to turn out. You might have a general idea of things that you have planned, but truthfully, you don't even know how that's going to go. So guard your hearts. Keep your faith. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Just keep loving. Don't get even. That doesn't work too well. That's not in God's formula for our lives. So in closing, I always like to ask if any of you personally have prayer needs, because there may be things that are true today, but they're subject to change, and tomorrow's a new day. Things change from what they were before prayer to after prayer. And if you have any needs, I'd at least like to take a few minutes and pray with you if you have those needs.